You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday. According to Stats South Africa, there was a 35% increase in liquidations this year compared to last year. And most of these were voluntarily commenced, but around 10% were placed into liquidation by compulsory applications to court. So I want to draw a distinction now between that and business rescue. And I'm in conversation with Nastasha Harduth, who's a director at Dispute Resolution. And first of all, Nastasha, let's focus on that number 35% and the increase in liquidations. It's a high number. What do you think's behind it?
Well, Jeremy, I think given the economic and political climate of South Africa generally, there is a lot of business distress. And I think that these stats essentially speak to the level of distress we are experiencing in South Africa. What concerns me is, and it's a question that's not answered by the stats, is how many of those businesses were viable but for the debts that they had to pay off. So in other words, how many of those companies could in fact have been rescued as opposed to being placed into liquidation?
In that respect, how would you determine very simply viability?
Well, it's really a case-by-case analysis, and you'd have to see whether or not the underlying business of the company, notwithstanding its debts, is a good business and one that's worth salvaging. If the business is good and there are funders that would be willing to provide post-commencement finance in order to float the company while it gets ready to pursue a business rescue, then I think it's actually a good candidate for business rescue as opposed to liquidation.
So then that leads to the next question about the main differences between business rescue and liquidation and why a company might choose one over the other.
Well, if the company, as I said, has a underlying business that's worth saving, then business rescue would obviously be the preferred vehicle through which that company could be saved, because liquidation is essentially the death knell to the company and the business. The difference really lies in this. Business rescue is a process that's legislated in the Companies Act, whereas liquidations are contained in the Insolvency Act. So the one is really to support a business, and it's a debtor-facing process where the company really collaborates through the intervention of a business rescue practitioner with all stakeholders to formulate a plan in order to rescue the company. Whereas in liquidation, the company is, in terms of the Insolvency Act, placed into the hands of the liquidator, who must then realize the assets, sell them off, and distribute the proceeds to the creditors. And in that respect, liquidation is much more creditor-facing.
Notwithstanding the fact, though, that business rescue itself in recent years has come up with a lot of difficulties, it is a short history. What are those difficulties? And perhaps more importantly, Nastasha, how can they be mitigated?
Yeah, so it's a term that I don't agree with, but business rescue has been coined as being value destructive. And the reason why that is the case is that in South Africa, business rescues are companies are placed into business rescue far too late down the distress curve. In other words, not far away enough from the company's commercial insolvencies. Remembering that the legislature wanted boards of companies to at least look through the company's business in time and predict whether or not the company is going to become commercially insolvent, in other words, unable to pay its debts as and when they fall due, in the foreseeable 6 months. We see companies entering business rescue a lot later than that.
So what role then would early intervention play in the success of business rescue?
Well, it'll give the company more runway, not just runway financially, because at that stage, it should ideally still be in a position where it can wash its face at the very least, if not pay its creditors. So it'll give the company financial runway, but it'll also help to smooth relationships with stakeholders, because you'll be able to engage with them ahead of time and explain the company's situation to them. Far too often, business rescue comes as a shock to the stakeholders because it isn't spoken of until it's far too late. So it'll give a financial runway and then also a relationship runway for the company to work with in formulating the business rescue plan.
You talk about companies sometimes going too late into the process, but once they're in business rescue, they can also be in business rescue for too long. I'm thinking, for instance, of the big insurance group 360, which has been in business rescue, I think, for 2.5 years.
Yeah, that's certainly the case, and it's not something that the legislature intended. The legislature really intended that business rescue process takes no longer than 3 months. Now, that is maybe a little bit too short because a business rescue practitioner goes into a company cold. He or she needs to understand the company, become acquainted with the company's financial affairs, and also have realistic negotiations with the stakeholders. So 3 months may be too short, but years was certainly not contemplated by the legislature when they enacted the business rescue statute.
So it's bad legislation, in other words?
I don't think so. I think that business rescues can and ought to be run a lot more efficiently. I think that business rescue plans should be drafted in a way that allows a business rescue practitioner to hand over the company to the boards once the business rescue plan has been implemented. But in South Africa, because the companies enter business rescue far too late, a lot of these business rescue plans aim for a structured wind down where creditors will receive a better dividend than they would have received in a liquidation, but it still means the end of the company. They have to see that process to its end. But if the purpose is to save the company, then the plan should be drafted in such a way that the business rescue practitioners can hand it back to the board as soon as possible.
There's also been some criticism about the fee structure for business rescue practitioners and the impact of that on the quality of service provided. What needs to change in that respect, do you think?
Well, I think that early intervention here also plays a key role, because any business rescue practitioner who's worth their salt will do a pre-assessment of the company. And it goes without reason that the process will be a lot smoother and the fees will be far less if the company enters into business rescue sooner, so that there's less to be done in order to try and put the pieces back together again. So yes, the fees can be exorbitant, but I do also think that it's a function of how late in the process business rescues commenced with.
And just a final one, are there certain sectors or industries that would be better suited to business rescue over liquidation?
Absolutely. Any company that has a non-transferable license, and here we think about, for example, mining licenses, would benefit from a business rescue process. In a liquidation, those licenses would be lost. In a business rescue, those licenses will survive with the company. So that I think is a good example of where business rescue should be considered above liquidation. Also, remember that once liquidation happens, all business ceases. So if there is room to continue trading the company because you want to sell the business ultimately, then you're going to have to operate the business, and business rescue is perfect for that as well.
I am going to leave it there with my thanks. Nastasha Harder, thank you indeed. Director at Dispute Resolution. Appreciate your time.
MoneyWeb at Midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, this is a worrying turn of events. The South African Human Rights Commission chairperson, Chris Nissen, has urged authorities in the Eastern Cape government to implement what he terms sustainable food security programs to prevent more people from dying from hunger. I want to give you a local perspective now. I'm in conversation with Dr. Eileen Carter, who is head of the commission in the Eastern Cape. And Doctor, first of all, then, maybe just a broad overview of the current situation regarding food security in the province. Just how bad is it?
So yeah, you would note, Jeremy, I think it was last year where we issued our malnutrition report, which reflected not only in the malnutrition within the Eastern Cape, but also nationally. And it raised very big red flags. So at that stage, we did say that there needs to be a consideration that the Eastern Cape be declared a disaster area in respect of malnutrition and hunger. And in moving forward and in having reflected on also the answers that we have been given by government as well as other stakeholders, we then decided we needed to move towards a forward-looking approach. And we then hosted this Imbizo, inviting government, business and